Our sermon text for this evening comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. We're going to read the first 16 verses. If you're able, please rise for the hearing of the Gospel, which we read in Jesus' holy name. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go to the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired came first, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only an hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord God, your word is truth. Pray that you would sanctify us by that truth. Lord, tonight show us our sin by your word and point us to the finished work of Christ, which is enough even for us. We pray these things, Lord, in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. When I was a little kid, my dad owned a business called Weatherman Incorporated, and it was an asbestos and lead-based paint abatement company. They had a really cool shop or warehouse in downtown Minot. I thought it was really cool as a kid. It's kind of a rundown building now, and if memory serves, it was probably a rundown, terrible building all the way back then, too. But the building is still there. If you go to Minot, there's this great restaurant called the Starving Rooster downtown, and the building just one to the north is my dad's old shop of Weatherman. The sign is still around the back. We're still trying to get it off the building at some point, just for memory's sake. When I was a kid, I loved going to the shop with my dad. It was great for just the two of us to go there and hang out for a while. Sometimes he'd let me just run loose in the warehouse. There were high shelves I would climb when he wasn't looking. Other times I would go along and he'd have a project for me. We had a woodworking shop down in the basement and I'd get to go and do that. Still, there were other times where he had to focus on something and there were arcade games down in the basement set up, so I got to go and play games. It was a pretty awesome place for a kid to go and spend time. But it wasn't always about the fun and games, and it wasn't always about spending time with my dad when I went. Sometimes I would go to the shop with an ulterior motive. I'd go for a completely different reason. I'd go to the shop hoping I could find a job and earn some money. If I wanted to buy some football cards or maybe go to the arcade and play some games or something like that, I'd ask to go down to the shop, and then as soon as I got there, I'd beg for some work. Usually my dad could find me something. It was always really simple, like take this stack of boxes that got delivered outside and put them inside the door, or sweep up the woodworking shop in the basement, or organize these tools. It was simple stuff that I was able to do and kept me busy for a while. It was never hard work, and I never was a very good worker, if we're being honest. I didn't work hard at what I was doing. So really, I should never have earned very much money when I went and worked for my dad. But he gave me work anyway. I kind of accomplished the task, and I ended up earning money. Even though the work wasn't hard, and even though most of the time it was just busy work that didn't need to be done, when I got finished, almost always, almost every time, I got paid the exact amount of money I needed for the thing I wanted to buy or the fun thing that I wanted to go and do. I hadn't earned it. I didn't deserve it. I just have a really cool dad that likes to give good gifts to his kids. So even though my work obviously wasn't good enough to get what I wanted, my dad gave me good gifts anyway. Now in tonight's parable, we have a master who comes and hires workers to come and do work in his vineyard. The first time he goes out is bright and early in the morning, and he finds people in need of work that are ready to work, and he promises to give them one denarius a day for what they're going to do. The denarius was a common day's wage, so a day of work in the vineyard, you'd expect to be paid a denarius for what you did. At 10 o'clock, the master needs more workers, so he goes back in to town again, and he finds more people that need a job. And this time he says, I'm not going to give you a denarius, but if you come and work for me, I'll give you a fair wage. So some people take him up on it and go out to the vineyard. He needs more workers. He goes back at 1 and gives the same offer. I'll pay you a fair wage if you come and work. He does it again at 4 p.m. and at 6 p.m. Every time offering a fair wage for anyone who will come out and work. Once quitting time came around, which was actually only about an hour after 6, quitting time was around 7, the master lined everyone up to receive their pay. Remember, the only people here who had a guaranteed wage were those that started right away in the morning. Apart from that, the master just said, I'll pay you what I think is fair for your work. So the workers all lined up. They started with the ones that were hired last, with about an hour left, the 6th-hour workers, and at the other end of the line were the guys that had worked all day long. And when the master's servant went out to pay the workers, he gave the ones that had only been there an hour, who had maybe worked a half an hour or 45 minutes, he paid them a denarius. He gave them a full day's wage. They got paid surprisingly well for the tiny amount of work that they did. It was a pretty sweet deal for those guys that showed up at the last minute. Then the servant goes down the line. He pays the 4 p.m. workers, and they get a denarius. Still a pretty good deal. The 1 p.m. workers and the 10 a.m. workers, they get a denarius as well. And for them, they hadn't worked a full day. Still a great deal for a partial day of work. And then finally, we get to the guys who had been there all day, who had woken up early, who were ready to work, who had slaved in the heat of the sun, who had done far more work than anyone else. And the servant gets to them, and he reaches into the bag, and he gives them exactly what the master promised, 1 denarius. It was a completely fair wage for the work that they did. And not only that, it was exactly what the master said he was going to give them. But when they received the denarius, they're unhappy about it. They thought they deserved more from the master, because they had seen people who worked far less, some of them, drastic amounts less, get paid the same amount, get paid that denarius. But the fact remains that the master, he did nothing wrong here. He paid them exactly what he said he would, and so they had really no grounds whatsoever to complain. They put in a good day's work, and the master paid them a good day's wage. Now, from an earthly perspective, I think every one of us completely understands the feeling of these workers that were there all day, don't we? They did more work, they were there longer, they suffered the heat of the day. They did way more than anyone else, and so they should get more, shouldn't they? The part of this parable that doesn't make any sense to us is this master, right? He's just throwing his money away. It doesn't make any sense to pay someone who worked a half hour or 45 minutes a full day's wage. That's complete foolishness. And anyone who runs a business like this is going to run the business right into the ground. I can't imagine any business owner in the world who would actually conduct business in this manner. Except for my dad. Because that's exactly how my dad ran Weatherman when it had to do with me and any friends I brought with me that needed to earn money. And with, I'm pretty sure he did it with my sister as well. It's almost as if in this parable, it wasn't the amount of work that went in that actually earned the wages from the master. Instead, it seems that the master just wanted to give good gifts to anyone willing to receive them. And that's exactly what this parable teaches us. See, God's always offering to give good gifts. And they're freely given to anyone who would receive them by faith. It doesn't matter if you come to believe as an infant through holy baptism, or as a child hearing from your parents the word of God, or as a confirmation student hearing the gospel from your pastor, or if you're 102 years old and on your deathbed and you're hearing the gospel from a family member who cares about your eternal soul. The gift that God offers and gives is always the same. And it's a gift that we could never earn. A gift that we could never deserve. A gift that we could never put in enough work to be worthy of. Even if we were baptized the day after we were born and did good works our entire life, we would still not be worthy of the gifts that our God offers. You see, whenever you come to Christ, whether it be as you're very young or very old or any point in between, the gift that God offers is exactly the same. He offers to forgive you each and every sin. He offers to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to make you holy, to make you one of his saints. He offers to restore your relationship with him and grant you life and life eternal in Jesus Christ. And God the Father can only do this because of what Christ accomplished, because of his finished work. See, Jesus lived the perfect life that none of us can live, and he lived it in our place. And then he suffered the death that our sins had earned for us, paying the price for each and every one of them in full. There's not a single sin we've ever committed or will commit wasn't heaped up on Christ on the cross. And then 3 days later, he rose again that we too might rise to new life in him. And thankfully, God continues to come to us and call to us and to offer this good gift of forgiveness and eternal life. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter what you've done with your life so far. God says, come and receive the forgiveness and eternal life won by Jesus Christ. Come and confess freely your sins and trust the promise that if we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come and believe in all that Christ accomplished for you. See, in God, we have not just a good Father, but instead we have the perfect Father that desires to give the good gifts of forgiveness and eternal life to all those he's created. So as you hear his word, trust his promises. Rest in them. Stake your very life upon them and live in light of them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this parable of Jesus. This parable of the workers in the vineyard. Lord, thank you that it's not our good works that earns our salvation, because if it was, none of us would be saved. Lord, we thank you for every good gift that you give, especially the good gift of redemption and forgiveness won by Jesus Christ. Strengthen our faith in him, we pray, and ready us for your service. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen.